This is Burning Brightly, a podcast for Christian moms who are feeling called to build a business and share their light with the world. I'm Bonnie Wiscombe, a life coach, mom, and entrepreneur, and I'm honored to be your guide as you face this business building adventure full of highs, lows, and everything in between. This is where we help each other find the courage to shine. There. Welcome back to Burning Brightly. Today, we're going to talk about living life to the fullest. And I know that sounds kind of like a cheesy turn of phrase, almost like something you'd see on an old cat poster from the 90s or a meme of today. But I really love this concept because I think most of us want to live life as full as humanly possible. We want to feel all the joy and have all the experiences and travel to all the places and love all the people. At least I do. And so if this resonates with you, I want to talk to you about living life to the fullest, or another way I like to phrase it is magnifying your mortality. I almost called this episode that, but I wasn't sure people would understand what that meant. But I think you probably know what magnifying your mortality looks like. On Earth, in this life, we are mortal. It's a short period of our existence. If you're a Christian, you probably believe this, that there is a whole lot more of life to be lived after this life. But while we're here on Earth, we've got a lot of amazing things we can do, a lot of challenges, a lot of growing experiences. And so how do we make sure that we are maximizing our opportunities, our privileges that are here for us to enjoy on life? Well, that's what we're going to talk about today. Now, some of us naturally want to experience and do and see and feel more. Those people, like me, and likely you, because a lot of entrepreneurs are like this, tend towards the hustle culture. We want more. We want to move faster and get more done and produce and consume and just live very, very full lives. And we have to learn how to rest very often. Now, others of us are the opposite, and we want to rest or relax more. And sometimes these people like the idea of things being easy, not trying to make things too hard. And they might struggle a little bit more with complacency and have to learn how to stay more active. Now, neither of these personality types is right or wrong. You'll hear me talking a lot more of the challenge of not leaning into that hustle culture because that's my personality more. But if you are more one of the resting and relaxing people and maybe you struggle a little bit more with getting moving, then you'll also benefit from this episode because regardless of what your personality is like, it's very important to understand it. And like I said, neither of these personalities is right or wrong. However, I have noticed that they usually marry each other. So look at your own marriage and that of those around you. And I bet you can find the hustler and the rester, and they're usually really great pairs. But when we discover which we are then better able to watch out for our weaknesses and to fix them when they come up. We notice where we are lacking, what we're missing, and we're able to work on those areas instead of just allowing our shortcomings to kind of take over. Now, in this episode, I want to teach you, remind you that life is full of so much good and also bad. There's highs, there's lows, there's hustle and relaxation, and we actually need all of it. So how do we make the most of life? How do we get a lot of these wonderful things into our life without feeling overwhelmed and overrun? Well, I want to consider three main ways we do this. Number one, we need to look at our goals and the purpose of life and make sure that they're in alignment with our values. Number two, we want to consider our weaknesses or our propensities. What's your weakness? What's your strength? How can you maximize strengths and work on your weaknesses? And then third, we need to consider and really take care of the tools we've been given, namely our body and our mind. Now, just a few weeks ago, I talked about being a human, trying to manage our mind and use our body in the best way we know how. But today we're going to talk a little bit more specifically about the body because it is such an essential tool for us to magnify our mortality, right? So we're going to just briefly touch on these first two, the looking at our goals, the purpose of life, and considering our weaknesses and propensities, because I really want to focus mostly on keeping our minds and bodies in shape. So let's talk about the purpose of life. We're getting deep here, okay? Why are we here? And what is your main goal of life? If you believe in Christianity, you probably believe that your purpose in life is very similar to mine, that it is to be tested and then to show God that we can obey and to feel joy and to build families and do good. So my question for you is, do your little daily, weekly, or even yearly goals measure up with this big, grandiose purpose of life? And how can you keep this big purpose of life and still work hard for the less grandiose things we need, like to eat and keep house? Do you ever really dive into something very purposeful. Maybe it's building a business or a charity or service or just helping someone in need and just think, gosh, I wish I didn't have to feed my family or go to work or, you know, change our sheets because I could just do this thing all day long. Of course. But the reality is life is full of very mundane, messy things that we have to do just to survive. So the point is, how do we keep this big picture view of our purpose in mind while still showing up for work and not abandoning everything, right? I kind of giggle a little bit when people say, if you knew you had one day left to live, what would you do? And then they say, go out and do those things. I'm like, well, no, we're not going to do those things. Because if I had one day left to live, I would bail on my business and I would take my family all to Hawaii and we'd enjoy it on the beach for a day. That's not realistic in real life. Now, can we be present a little bit more? Yes, of course. But in reality, we have to survive while still keeping that greater purpose in mind. Now, there will likely always be very small incremental changes that we need to make to keep us in alignment with where we want to be going. I love the analogy of an airplane that is taking off from New York and headed to London. And if that airplane deviates even just 1% off its course, it will end up someplace bizarre like Africa. It's very important that we stay on course, but very easy to just get slightly off course. So the goal is 1% better. Have you guys read Atomic Habits where he talks about 1% better? That's all we're working on. We don't want to make too big of changes on a daily basis because they're hard to maintain. We just want to do 1% better each day. The solution is not big and drastic. It's just 1% better. Those are the changes that last. Now, if you are working on anything we want to be better on, patience, kindness, we want to be more compassionate, or we want to be in better shape, have better nutrition, or work on our friendships, our business, our cleanliness, our self-care, any number of things, that's the way to make it work. 1% better, teeny tiny changes in consistency. All right, so that is how we consider our goals and this big purpose of life in order to magnify our mortality. Number two, let's look at our weaknesses and our strengths. What are your weaknesses? Now, back to what we were saying about the two main personality types, right? The one that's more likely to run too fast or the one that's more likely to rest too much. Where do you lie? Are you more likely to just while away an afternoon with a book or Netflix or more likely to work yourself to death? Again, neither of these is better or worse than the other, but they have specific strengths and specific weaknesses we need to be aware of. Identifying them means that we can watch out for them when we lean too far one way or another. I remember being very proud of how productive I was and all the things I could get done in a day until my kids started saying, we never get to spend time with you. Or why can't you sit and watch a movie with me? And I responded with, I don't know. This is just how I'm built. But it is a weakness of mine. I want to be able to rest and relax and really enjoy my children instead of just always go, go, go. Maybe your challenge is different, but paying attention to it brings us all the power. So we want the drive of the workaholic, but not to actually be a workaholic. We want the patience of the more resting personality, but we don't want complacency or laziness. It's just like a pendulum swinging back and forth. How can we find our happy middle and work on those weaknesses? So let's answer that question. How do we strengthen our weaknesses? Well, likely by doing things we do not want to do. So for those of us that are crazy, we need to incorporate in more rest. For those of us that are a little bit too lazy, then we need to incorporate a little bit more work. Maybe I should put that on a post-it note somewhere. More rest for the crazies, more work for the lazies. That's how we work on strengthening our weaknesses. Okay, now finally, our third way that we make sure that we are magnifying mortality, and that is caring for these incredible tools we've been given, namely our brain and our body. Now, on this podcast and in coaching in general, we talk a lot about caring for our minds and analyzing our thoughts and ensuring that they are leading us to the place we want to be. The first lesson I want to give you in caring for the body is this. There is a difference between emotions and sensations. This is a really important differentiation. Have you ever noticed how lately we say, I feel something, and then we say a thought? I feel like maybe you don't want to be here. It's really important that we pay attention to that and acknowledge that these aren't actually feelings. We're getting a little bit muddy when we talk about feelings, and we want to be very clear about what an emotion is versus what a thought or a sensation is. So emotions are very important and they're not the same as thoughts. I think we know that, especially if you're a coach. But we feel both emotions and sensations. Emotions are products of the mind and sensations are products of the body. So let me give you a few examples. Hunger, actual hunger pangs, are a sensation. They are created by the body when the stomach is empty. Wanting chocolate or any other craving is an emotion because it comes from the mind thinking, gosh, a brownie would sound really good right now. Now, the only caveat here is sometimes your body can crave something physically from the body when it needs a specific nutrient or something. But generally, that's not brownies. Generally, that's maybe like vitamin C and you start craving orange juice. Okay, so that can be a little bit muddy. But generally, those cravings that aren't pure hunger come from the mind. Now, resentment is an emotion, comes from thoughts. Exhaustion is a sensation. Now, there is also emotional exhaustion. Have you just thought, oh my goodness, I can't look at another spreadsheet or I can't do one more thing around this house? That's probably caused by thoughts. So that's the question, right? Is the feeling caused by a thought? Then it's an emotion. Is it caused by my body? It's a sensation. Pain is actually both. We can have emotional pain that's caused by thoughts and can actually lead to physical pain, but generally physical pain is a sensation caused by the body. So some of these are not super black and white. There is some gray area, but generally, if we're paying attention to what our body needs, that's a sensation. If it's what our mind is creating, that's an emotion. So learning this lesson and really implementing it is one of the best tips I have for anyone who's trying to manage their weight or overcome eating problems, understanding the difference between actual hunger and emotional hunger. This lesson will also help us learn to care for ourselves better because we must listen to our physical sensations and answer them if we're going to take care of our bodies. The emotions we can play with and see if they serve us or if we need to do some thought work around them. Now, another little caveat here, emotions can cause sensations. When someone says something cruel to you and your nervous system gets activated by a thought, you will feel sensations in your body. So you probably know what it feels like to have your nervous system activated. It's like a rapid heart rate, clammy palms, maybe you feel a little nauseated. There are physical sensations that come due to chemicals and hormones being released in the brain thanks to thoughts. So that muddies the water a little bit more, but paying attention to those and separating them as much as possible is very helpful. Now, we cannot change sensations with our brain generally, but it can help us manage them. Again, wanting to eat versus needing to eat are two very different things, and helps us deal with emotional eating or food addiction. So let's talk about the example of food addiction for just a minute because it can be kind of tricky. When you think about an addiction, you generally think about something you don't need, right? We get addicted to alcohol or cigarettes or something like that, something that's not essential for survival. When we develop that addiction, then we try to go, you know, cold turkey or find some addiction recovery program where we gradually wean ourselves off this thing and generally never go back to it. Most people do not quit smoking and then just have a cigarette once a month. It's too difficult. It's either all or nothing. With food, we cannot do that, right? We have to survive by eating food. So that brings in some trickiness. We have to constantly be asking ourselves, do I actually need this or is this something that I just want that my brain tells me I need? Let's take the holidays, for example. There are lots and lots of treats, or it's part of a tradition to eat excessive amounts of food. And in addition, there's lots of negative emotion. There's stress around the holidays, maybe money issues, maybe there's annoying relatives or travel. So that's why we tend to escape our emotions through food around the holidays, and there's so much excess food. One of my favorite analogies when it comes to food and feeling those negative emotions is one I heard from Brooke Castillo. When we have an empty glass and we tap a spoon on it, it resonates quite loudly because it's empty. Lots of space for that resonance to move through, right? If the glass is full, it vibrates less when we tap it. That's kind of how our bodies are. When emotions move through us as vibrations and our stomach is empty, it's almost like it's harder to deal with those vibrations. So we just shove the vibrations down by filling our body up with food. So that is something that we can work on with our mind to manage when we feel hunger or when we feel discomfort, to allow ourselves to feel those emotions instead of turning to food. So this is a really great thing we can work on, asking ourselves, what emotions are we trying to escape through our food? Is there something I constantly do when I feel negative emotion because it helps me fill up that glass, right? And to feel negative emotions less? Very, very powerful lesson. Now, I personally have learned a lot about caring for my body in the last few years. I had so many years of having babies that I really had to do the best I could just to feed myself and sleep and get a little bit of exercise. But now that I'm done having babies, I'm learning a lot more about what my body stasis is and, you know, how much food I do need, how much sleep I need, what it looks like to be stressed. And I wanted to share at the end of this episode just a handful of tools I have used over the years that have really, really helped me and to begin to combat aging and the natural, you know, falling apart of my body as I get older. So the number one lesson I've learned over the years is sleep. How essential it is to prioritize sleep and rest, even just quiet time, for both my brain and my body. It requires a lot of discipline, especially as a goer and a doer. I want to go do things all the time and not sleep, but it's so essential for our bodies. Another tool I absolutely love, and I realize it is a splurge, is an Apple Watch. The reason I love this thing so much is because it naturally tracks my activity. And obviously, any sort of pedometer would do the same thing. But it will tell me when I've hit certain milestones. It will allow me to compete with friends and family. Every day, I have the goal to fill up an activity ring or an exercise ring. It's just a really, really fun way of gamifying fitness and helps me to stay on track. Another splurge that is an incredible gift to yourself if you can manage it is a personal trainer, even for a short period of time. Now, for women, especially as we get older, our muscles start atrophying and quickly. And I am convinced that building muscle is one of the best things we can possibly do for our bodies in order to maintain balance, maintain strength, and keep ourselves from breaking down quite so quickly. So what I recommend for anyone who is new to weight training is to hire a personal trainer for just a month or two if you can swing it. Write down all the programs she gives you, ask her to create more if you can, and then go use those programs on your own. I have done this myself. I did weightlifting as a younger woman and loved it, kind of got out of the habit as I was having babies, and then have since hired a trainer to help me get familiar back in with the gym, understand the exercises that really benefit my body, and now I go out and do it on my own. And it is my favorite time of the week, the handful of times that I go to the gym and lift weights. It makes me feel so powerful and so strong, and it just completely helps me improve my mood and my entire day. So I highly recommend it. Another amazing tool is a food journal. I don't know if you've ever kept a food journal before, but it is like the magic bullet for improving your eating. Even if you just want to add a couple of extra vegetables to your diet in a day, start writing down what you eat. And it's amazing what kind of clarity we can get by just looking at what we've eaten a few hours before. You think that your brain is capable of remembering all the things you eat, but sometimes I am wrong. I'll get to the end of the day and think, what did I eat today? And just jotting it down on a little sticky note or in my phone is a very powerful way of looking back and going, oh, actually, I didn't get any vegetables today, or I didn't have a lot of water, or didn't have enough protein. So really great and simple way of keeping track of what you're eating. Also stocking my pantry with really healthy foods. I love to have healthy nut butters or protein powders. I personally need prepping cut up fruits or vegetables at the beginning of the week can be huge. A few small tips like this can go a long way in eating healthier throughout the week. And then finally, my favorite tool to use, and I actually use the one that our gym has, is a body scanner. I have found as I've aged that the scale doesn't tell the full story. In fact, that's always the case. The scale can't tell us how much water we have in us, how much waste, how much muscle, how much fat, can't tell us if we're actually getting stronger or weaker. It only tells us the lump sum of what we weigh, which is actually a really poor way of looking at our fitness and nutrition. So the body scanner will tell you your percentage of fat. It will even tell you the percentage in certain areas of the body. And I find it to be so much more beneficial than just weighing myself because the scale tells me so very little. So those are a handful of my favorite tips and tools to use for keeping yourself as healthy as possible and for magnifying your mortality in the best way possible. Okay, friends, thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week. Are you ready to start or grow your dream business? Click the link in the show notes to download the free starter guide to building a business or to schedule a free coaching call with me. And if you loved this episode, don't forget to leave a review and share it with a friend who might be feeling the call to burn a little brighter.